This is Ken, and you're listening to New Pneuma Godcast, the urban voice of Christian podcasts, kicking something new every week. Subscribe today.
What's good, New Pneuma family? Do you subscribe to or believe in what we discuss on New Pneuma Godcast? If you do, while I got your attention, hit that subscribe button. It'll mean a lot to us. Peace. Yes, and that's why gangs exist. That's why, you know, organizations like the Masons exist or whatever else that's out there. Those kind of things exist because people, men, are they recognize certain things about certain people and they have authority in certain arenas or whatnot, and they will yield to that and or want to become part of it because they see the benefit of it in that sense. So, again, you know, obviously, when if there's a situation where someone has more knowledge of something than I do, like for instance, let's take it to cooking, for instance. I know for a fact I do not know as much as my wife knows about cooking. I'm gonna always be like, "Hey, baby, you can take it over. I don't know nothing about that. Not nowhere near like what you know." So whatever you say that I need to put it in and make this right, I'll do it the way you said to do it because I don't know nothing about that. I have no problem with that because I know that's not my area of expertise and I don't have pride that's going to make me say, "Oh, now I'm not listening to her because that's a woman." You know what I'm saying? That's, I'm not going to ever be thinking like that. I'm going to say, "Hey, you know, that's one of those situations you submit to her in that situation because she is the one that has the knowledge, the expertise, and all that in that arena."
Well, you, Jonathan, go ahead.
Well, you know, I think the key word here, and I think I'm glad it got brought up, is authority. And I think, you know, we're talking about authority and a man having authority. First of all, Norm, I'm going to say the brothers you've been around in your life, man, you consider yourself blessed. That's first and foremost, because I've had a bunch of catty brothers around me and brothers who felt threatened just by my presence. And I think that is a normal thing, that brothers feel threatened by other brothers, which is why you see, just like you said, gangs, and you see all the senseless things going on, but that's a whole nother topic. But authority, and I think we even talked about Adam and Eve, and I think a part of the original sin was Adam not truly understanding his authority and what he was supposed to do in that role. And I think men today are still struggling with that authority. I think, Terrence, you brought up a good point about, well, what if a woman is able to do something better than a man? Shouldn't she, you know, be able to take the lead on those things? And absolutely. But I think what you've seen, especially more modern, I would say, and that's why you have this struggle that's going on, as women became more able to do things, as women learned how to do more things, as women wanted to branch out and do more things, that authority was threatened by men. And they didn't know how to kind of allow those things to happen so the relationship can grow healthy. And I think a lot of times men tried to hold authority over things and messed it up when they probably should have kind of got out the way and let it go. And you can still have authority looks different in different situations. But I just think throughout our history, men have struggled with what authority really looks like, how we should maintain our authority, and then once and then how we can manifest a good, healthy relationship with women as partners. You know, as opposed to kind of wanting to always maintain that level of dominance in every arena. I think it was some decisions made whiles ago that, you know, if we would have been able to allow them to grow and develop in a healthy way, they wouldn't be fighting so hard, you know, about the things you're talking about today.
Let me just get on here real quick. I know Norman, you was about to jump in, but let me say this real quick on here. Want to also speak to the fact that one of the responsibilities of people who have authority is to release it. Authority is not meant to just be held. But one of the reasons we give authority, I mean, we're given authority, is so that we can give it and we can delegate it and put it out. And I do agree that there's a lot of there's been a lot of times in history where people would actually have the men would have the juice, but not want to give it, or even when it came down to other men, not want to give it and share authority. And so we know there's a lot of competition among brethren, among brothers, for different reasons, jealousy, being catty, or even competing for the woman. that's what most of the competition is about anyway. But I'm going to let Norman go ahead and say what you're going to say, and then I'm going to ask some more questions, resetting the room on the topic.
Yeah, I was about to say, welcome to the room, Tiffany, but I'll let you reset the room in a minute, also, Terrence. But basically, man, and going back to what Jonathan said, man, I love the way you said that, Jonathan. That was a really good way of putting it. What are the problems that we see is that, especially like, okay, let's just put it from the perspective of marriage, right? So you have a married couple, and in that marriage, let's say the woman is able to do certain things and wants to, I guess you could say, in that sense, lead in that arena or that area, whatever it is. But then the man might feel threatened as far as like his manhood being challenged or something like that. But then there's also the dynamic of the maturity of the couple, where the woman does not feel like just because she's leading in a certain area that that makes her man weak or inept or whatever. And then there's not a competition or a power struggle within that, where it's like, okay, each person realizes that they bring something to the table. But at the same time, the marriage is no different in the sense of authority. And it's no different than if you work at a company. When you work at a company, there's one ultimate leader. Whoever owns that business is the ultimate leader, the ultimate decision maker, and all those things. There always has to be an ultimate person who makes the final decision, who has the final word. And it has nothing to do with someone trying to lord over someone or to, you know, flex their muscles or whatever you want to call it. It has to do with the order of things. It's no different than me being a parent and I had children. They came out of me, and that's why they are submitting to me. I'm the one with the authority because I'm the one that gave them life. So again, it's a thing where there has to be an order. There is a specific order to everything. Everything flows through order. When you look at nature, there's order without even a language being spoken, so to speak. But animals just understand order. And typically the one who's leading is the one who is the strongest. Now, the point is that specifically when we're talking about a marriage situation, there should not be competition among a married couple. There should be a collaboration. There should be a working together, a coordinating together. And each one should know what they are better at than the other. But being better at something than the other does not make you better, if you know what I mean. It means that you're complementing them where they are needing that type of thing. It's kind of like you have supplementary angles and complementary angles in math. And so you need that other part to make the whole thing whatever it needs to be. And so the point is that it takes two people coming together who have various levels of strength and whatnot to bring it together to strengthen each other. Where I'm weak, hopefully she's strong. Where I'm strong, hopefully, that's where, I'm helping her because she's weak in that area or whatever. The point is that there is a coming together to bring together each other's strengths to make a stronger unit together. And I believe that's what we have missed out on for a long time in society. And like Jonathan said, that is the reason why women have started to fight as hard as they fought in the last 50 years or so to get to a certain level or whatever. But the part that makes it really bad is that when women have gotten to these places, then they started acting like they didn't need a man anymore. That's where they messed up, because no matter what we say, we need each other. Nobody can exist without each other. We're interdependent, not independent. And that's the problem I have with a lot of these women out here today. When they speak on being an independent woman, what they should be saying is we are able to, you know, do things for ourselves now, but we're still interdependent upon anyone that's around us, that's in society or whatever. We do need men. That's why we call a plumber. That's why we call electricians. That's why we call firemen. That's why we call policemen, because we need men. We don't exist in this world without men. And that's where we've seen, you know, a big problem. And just for the record, Tiffany, if you have any questions, you can send it through the chat, and then, you know, maybe at some point, you know, we might bring you up here as well, too, if you want to add to the subject.
Yeah, no doubt. Welcome, welcome, Tiffany. If you want to come up, you can raise your hand and we can chop it up with you now. But I just want to reset the room. We're talking about the feminization of fathers or men. Is there a concerted effort to feminize men for whatever reason? That's what we're talking about. And we're getting into some different topics, branching off and relating them to the subject. And so some people feel like that's not really happening. It seems like the consensus here, we say that that is happening. There is a concerted effort to feminize men a lot of times and even make women more masculine. And so, and we're also talking about the after effects or what is the repercussions of that, that's going on. And we're still trying to dig into some different topics to really understand what it is we're talking about. And so this is one of the other questions I wanted to bring out. When we talked about the roles of men. Now, one of the things I think Norman said, I think Jonathan hinted at it, but we were talking about men being stronger. We know that we're naturally stronger. We naturally go towards more danger. So somebody might say we were built to be protectors, at least in the arena of the physical danger. I would argue that women are protectors as well, because they may protect in other areas, in other ways, and even with provision. We say that the men are the providers. And then we see areas in scripture and Proverbs and other areas where it shows the provision and the resourcefulness and even the entrepreneurial spirit of certain types of women as a support to the family. And so when we're trying to really figure out, and what I want to ask y'all is, can you define what are the distinct roles? Because Jonathan, you said it's known. We always knew what the roles were. But what is the role of the man slash father that's distinct, uniquely different from the woman, and something that cannot be generalized to just, well, both humans can do it? Something distinct for the fathers.
I think that's a really good question right there. The first thing is we got to go to the beginning in the scriptures to get that answer. And the one thing that I've discussed this with you in the past, Terrence, and you said it to a degree as well, Tommy, but I wanted to reiterate and also elaborate. The fact that Adam was given the authority and the commission to name everything. Adam was told by God, whatever you call it, that will be its name. So with that being said, when we look at society today, and we especially look at children and how they respond to a father versus how they respond to a mother, there is a distinct difference. When there is respect there, when there is honor there, when there is a, you know, when you are part of that child's life, there's a difference between the way the children respond to the father versus the way they respond to the mother. I have seen it many, many, many times. I recently saw it when my daughter was about to go off to her prom, and her mom her aunt, these other women that were there, all these people was telling her how beautiful she was and all this kind of stuff. When I came to take a picture with her, take pictures with her, and I was standing there just about to leave, we were done with the pictures and whatnot, and I was just about to walk away. But as I was about to walk away, I turned to her and I said, I just want you to know that you're really beautiful. I hope that you go and have fun tonight, blah, 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 you know, all that kind of stuff. When I said that, she almost cried. And even the women that were there almost started crying, and they voiced it, because there was something about me saying it that meant more to her, that had more, had an authority behind it that she felt and everybody else felt. And she started to almost cry because of me saying it and the way that I said it. And I've seen this many, many times in the past, how children have been affected by me speaking. And I've been in situations where, like, I was in a school one time, and when I showed up, because I started to speak, the kids, you know, all the disorder that was there before me, it stopped. And I was told by the teacher, who was a female, she told me later, she said, I've never seen those kids act that way before. When you came in, everything changed. The whole atmosphere changed, and they started focusing on you, and they were so interested in talking to you and all this. And when you speak, they were listening and they were attentive and all that. And it was just a complete difference. So the point I'm making is that, you know, when God made man, he gave us a certain authority that when we speak things over anything, over people, over situations, over whatever, there is an authority and a power that comes with that, especially when we know what we're doing.
Okay, Hold on for a second. I don't mean to cut you off. I just want to make sure that I can get them in the discussion too, and make sure that they answer some of that as well. But the question is there are what are some of the distinct roles of fathers that we cannot be shared with the mothers, but something distinctly for the men? And I think Norma was speaking to the authority. Just the authority itself and being able to speak to a thing and them listening. But I wanted y'all to answer up if when you can, because I don't want it to go too long with one person. Try to keep the answers a little bit shorter, and then most people will stop, and then you can go back in and add your other points so that we can have more of a discussion. But Jonathan, Johnny, anybody on that? Tommy?
Yeah, I got something on that. So I wasn't able to be with some of the births because of other commitments, being in the military or whatever, for some of my other children. But for my daughter, can everybody hear me?
I hear you.
Yeah, okay, I hear you.
Good. But I was there when my daughter was, I was in the delivery room, okay? And I saw her come out the womb. And I was, I'm trying to remember, did mom hold, you know? Oh, anyway, when she came into my arms, there was a calm, there was a peace, there was a connection that was established from the womb that she may not remember, but it's in her to this day, right? And I believe because of that, there's a closeness that I have with her that, you know, and plus she's a girl anyway. So I think there's something about daughters and fathers. You know, I'm not going to punch my daughter in the face, but I'll punch my son in the face any day of the week just to remind him I'm in charge. I'm sorry. I'm just saying. But I just wanted to add that to Norman's point that that deposit and that closeness, and I'll end with that.
But wait, I want you to answer, and that's good, but I don't feel like I got an answer to that question, though. Can you say, maybe you answered it and I missed it, but can you say what you, what I'm trying to define is roles? Because when we talk about feminization, a lot of the things, times we go into, and we talked about the cross dressing, how we appear, how we look, and certain things, and that could be a part of it. But I'm trying to see if we're going to talk about feminization of men or fathers, then we're talking about perverting something that is. I'm trying to figure out what is. What is the thing that is being perverted? The role. We talked about the roles of fathers. So, what is
so
that
let me, role? Let me attack. It's the difference between, because I said she was in a mother's arms and then she was in my arms. When she was in a mother's arms, there was a nurturing. When she was in my arms, there was a protection, right? It's a little different. And I'll use this analogy. I was telling this to somebody the other day. I said, if somebody comes through that door and they're trying to invade and do a home invasion, and I go hide behind the couch and scream, what kind of man you think I would be? And I was saying this to a female. I said, wouldn't you expect me to get in front of you and fight the intruder off? Or would you want me to get behind you, the woman, and let you fight the intruder off? There's an expectation of us to be protectors. We're built to be protectors and providers. We're not built to run and cower and be a coward and scream. I hope that answered your question. Let me know if it did.
Yeah, to me, it speaks to physical danger. So, because I mentioned earlier, you may have been on the phone when I was talking about how, because I know that a woman with her child in her hands, if something happened to her child, somebody tried to take her child, that protection would be fierce. But I think that one of the things that's being highlighted is that men were built and designed to be able to be physical protectors and those who would go out and provide safety from physical danger. And we're built for that. Would you agree with that?
I agree. But the difference is that we're designed not only to protect, but to protect both the mother and the child. So, and I use this example, I'm using an electrical example. There are some things, there are some devices that are built for explosive environments, where some things are built for just residential environments. So they don't have, they don't have the die-cast casing. They don't use the more rigid, harder type of pipe. It's for residential use, so it can be punctured. It's a little more lightweight. Can it handle some capacity and some ampacity? Absolutely. But there's some things that are, that can handle stressful, strenuous environments, and that's the main.
That's good. Okay, Jonathan.
Well, I would say that's kind of hard to answer from what you're saying, like solely and only that a man can do and solely and only that a woman can do besides the concept of, you know, creating and bearing children. There are distinct things that we're different in. But I think the way society is kind of built now, those lines are more blurred. I would think naturally, physically, we are made to be more of a protector. Right. And I know the hierarchy in my house, because of the authority that I was blessed with, you know, if something is coming through my door, obviously I'm going to be the one who runs toward it. But at the same time, you know, if something's coming to my through my door and I'm not here, you know, they better watch, because my wife's going to have the thing waiting on them right there, too. So she's going to be a protector as well. So I just think it's some things that has happened in society that allows for not to say necessarily singular roles that we things that we can only do. But I think it does say things that we should do. We should be protectors. Women should be more nurturing in those type of environments. And so I hope that answered your question, brother.
Yeah, it did. It did.
See, now that worries me a little bit. See, I got to be the guy that starts some trouble. I apologize. But see, that worries me a little bit because, and correct me if I heard you wrong, Jonathan. Maybe I didn't hear you right. So if I, but it sounds like to me, are you saying that we should not have roles or we should have roles?
Well, I didn't say either way if we should or shouldn't, but I did describe in my household, we have roles. And so that's the way it is. But I'm talking about, when we're talking about societal issues and we're talking about society, it's hard to decipher roles in the society that we live in today. Right? We talk about protection and all that, but you run up on Clarissa Shields, you probably ain't gonna win that fight. And that's a woman. You see what I'm saying? So it's things that are different now. When we get to talking about what a role should be, those are things that are more defined in households, because that grip on society about roles, everybody's doing some of everything now when it comes to being out here. Some people are leaders, some people CEOs. You got entertainers, you got athletes, you got fire women, you got police officers who are women who are on the front line. You got frontline soldiers now who are women. And
okay,
now, is it the majority? No, it's not. But are they capable? Can they? Some, yes. That's just the way it is.
Now, that's what I want to hit. And is that, so my question is that right or is that a perversion?
I don't think it's a perversion. I think it's just a consequence and or in a situation where it might be a necessity. And what Jonathan was saying, which I agree with, is if you're not home, your wife becomes that next protector. So if your wife has a gun in the house, then she's gonna know how to use it, or maybe you told her how to use it, or she learned how to use it. She's been at the gun range or whatever, and you want to make sure that she knows what she's doing whenever she needs to, then that is right. And it's also necessary, because why would you want your wife to not know how to protect herself when you're away? So the point is, it's not about a role in this situation. He's talking about there are certain things that are just general knowledge that everyone should have. Like, I would want my wife to know how to defend herself if she's in a situation where she needs to. Does that mean that I expect her to always be a fighter and all that kind of stuff? No, that's not what I mean. But at the same time, I don't want her to be powerless. I don't want her to be defenseless. I don't want her to be able to be taken advantage of or taken control of. I've heard too many times of women who were done that way by men. And then they ended up murdered. They ended up being raped or whatever the case may be. The point is that, you know, you don't want to have your woman not be able to deal with certain things if she needs to deal with them. It's not that that's her role. It's not that that is her responsibility. But if she's in a situation where it needs to go down, then she needs to know how to do it.
Johnny, you had something? Oh, Jonathan, one of y'all, I think y'all wanted to still build on that. So I'm going to let that keep going until I get to the next part.
Yeah, I don't think I'm either asking a question or making my statement, because I guess I need to say what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that when I talk about roles, I'm not saying a wife or a woman not knowing how to do certain things like firearm or protect herself in instances where the man is not there. I'm talking about in all cases where the man is there. That's what I'm talking about. And to say that a woman can do something, does that mean should she do it? For example, this is what came into my mind, and I probably can think of a bunch of other examples and then I yield. Let's say, and if this is the arrangement for the family, then, you know, God bless them, but I think it's a perversion. Let's say every time they pull up to the gas station and the husband is like, you pump the gas. Or if the tire blows, he's sitting in the car while she's out there jacking up the car and changing the tire. Those are just two examples. Something like that. I can think of plenty more, but those are some thoughts.
I mean, I wouldn't call that a perversion, but I would say that's not something that, you know, I'm going to do or I'm going to teach my son to do. There are certain morals that I'm going to instill in my son so that he does. But at the same time, like I was talking about jobs and roles and things, like, are you saying that like women shouldn't be police officers? You saying, what do you like? They shouldn't be able to do those things. Women shouldn't be able to go to the academy and do those things. Should they not? Should they still be?
This is real good. I think that they can, but should they? I don't think women should be in combat and in the military fighting the front lines. I don't think that that's their role. See, I'm like this, and y'all can. I can stand corrected, but I think the Bible tells us that a woman is to be. When I think of help meet, I think of help, but I don't think of help like on the battlefield fighting, shooting at folks, you know, spilling blood. I don't see it in that light. I don't see her. And I've made this mistake even in my own life, and I had to repent for it. I don't see her climbing up on a skyscraper with me, building a building. Is she capable? Yes. But I think I'd be better off getting another man to assist me in a project like that. You know, because that's what I believe that we're built for. And I don't believe that she's built to do those types of things that requires manual labor.
When you say frontline, I think a lot of times when people talk about women in the military and they talk frontline, they talking like it's 1920 and everybody's in one line, and then you got people in the front with the gun, and then you got the people behind them with another gun. That's not how the military works anymore. And so when you're talking about the things that women are doing in the military, it's a lot of technology, it's a lot of knowledge, it's a lot of leadership that the military would be very much lacking if women wasn't a part of it today, just because of the things that they know. We know that women have certain intuitions and things that they can do that they can bring to the table. And so to limit them in a certain level and say, well, they should just not be able to do that, when that's what I was speaking on earlier. Some of those things are beneficial. It's beneficial to have a woman by your side when you're planning things and doing things. And if my wife can handle it, me and my wife are a tag team. So anything that I'm trying to build or do, she's the first person who's trying to help me. She's going to make sure I do it right. She's going to pay attention to detail. I might do all the heavy lifting, but she's going to be right there by my side. She's going to make sure I pay attention to detail and do what I was supposed to do. So I think that's where a lot of the gap is. Men got threatened by women being able to do certain things, and they felt like that threatened their authority, and it didn't. What it really would have did if it was embraced was probably enhanced the authority.
I agree with Jonathan, and I also can find some agreement in things that Johnny is saying also. But what I will say is this. For instance, I know that we've been seeing a lot of movies coming out over the last 10 to 12 years or whatever, where it's been women that have been stepping up into roles of, let's say, assassins or some type of thing like that. And it would be because they're in a position where men would trust them in certain types of scenarios where they would not trust a man. So a woman would be able to easily infiltrate certain areas because men would let their guard down based on her being a female. So in that sense, she could be a huge asset in the sense of being a secret weapon and an undercover agent or whatever that can get into areas that a man would not expect a woman to come into as some kind of secret agent or so forth and so on. And therefore, it would make her even more lethal in that situation than a man would be, because a man wouldn't even get to a certain level or place within that situation. So I think that when we talk about the reasons for women being in a situation or whatever, there are advantages to having a woman do something instead of a man at times for whatever reason. It could be like for instance, I have a friend who he said he sends his wife to do certain things when it comes to business matters because his wife is a certain color and he's not. So he knows that she's going to get certain privileges in a situation because of her color that he doesn't get and or he doesn't expect to get. So therefore, she's the best person for the situation. That is not a particular role. It is just a scenario where she's needed because of what she's able to bring to that situation that he isn't able to. So again, I believe that, especially what Jonathan is saying right now, I think is that there are times when there are advantages to both, whether it be, you know, a male or female, there are advantages to both as to how they fit into a situation or a scenario. And the things that they bring to the table for various things. Now, the thing that you can definitely say is that you won't find a majority of women trying to go to war and be on the front lines of any kind of military organization. You're not going to find that women are just going to be flocking to do that. It is not their first instinct for most women. That is a general understanding that we have. But at the same time, that doesn't mean they can't do it. And that doesn't mean that, you know, there's nowhere in scripture that God said women shouldn't do it. You know, that's the thing that we gotta not forget, that if God didn't say it, then we shouldn't be putting our opinion into it. We should only say what he's saying. We should only reflect what he's talking about throughout the scriptures. And there's nowhere in scripture that says women should not go to war. But it does talk about the fact that a woman was going to get the credit for a leader being brought down in a war. So what's the difference between what she did versus, you know, what men would do in a situation of battle, except that she did something strategic that got her the credit for the, you know, that victory in that situation.
Okay. All right. This is good. This is a good discussion. And it really pulls me back to the initial question, because I feel like in asking this question again, it's bringing out other things. So have we truly clearly defined what are the biblical roles, the God-given roles that distinguish men from women outside of having physical strength to protect in physical scenarios or dangerous scenarios, and being able to provide sperm, which you might even put in their identity. But I'm asking the questions right now. I'm not really speaking on it because I just want to hear what y'all got to say. Have we really clearly defined the distinctions of the clearly defined roles of the differences?
I don't think we have. And that's what troubles me, because what I'm hearing is, well, you know, a woman could. And I don't disagree that a woman could. My argument is if she should. Now, in situations where we understand, we know about the Industrial Revolution, we know about World War I, World War II, where women stepped up when men weren't there. But it hurt the family and it hindered it more than it helped it to some degree, you know, because the children were in the balance. But yeah, if the man can't be there, should the woman step up? Absolutely. Should she know how to do certain things? But there needs to be clearly defined roles, in my opinion.
And let me ask you this about what you're saying. Based on what Norman said, which I agree with this part of what he said, we can't add to it as far as what is biblical. We can talk about our preferences and our traditional norms and say, for me in my house, I'm not going to let my wife, you know, pump the gas or change the tire, maybe fix the car, unless if my wife was an engineer, or if she grew up and her dad was a mechanic and she knows how to fix it better than me. That's a whole different story. But either way, would we say that this is a biblical position, or do you believe that's more a traditional position that you're holding? You feel like I just need to hold it down for those traditional values, or do you believe that that's rooted in scripture in terms of the gender roles, and using those examples that you use?
I'm not so much talking about the technical aspect, knowledge and knowing, but I'm number one, I'm dealing with strength. I mean, there's a clear distinction. Look, and this might sound like a preference, but I don't want no woman stronger than me. That doesn't make me feel like a man. Oh, get out the way. Let me get that tire. Oh, I changed it. I don't want my wife to, you know, wrestle me and put me in a headlock. I don't want that. So
But answer this question real quick before we move on to the next person. I want to know, would you say that your view on that, not to say that I don't disagree with what you're saying, but do you feel like your view on that is biblical outside of just the strength given? Or because when you bring it into application, daily applications of all kind of different things, that's when it kind of gets cloudy. But do you feel like the view that you hold on that is a biblical position or more traditional value that you are upholding in that?
I would say it's both, because as you're speaking, the thought that came to my mind is, what? How do we define femininity versus masculinity? We'd have to define femininity and masculinity in order to really dig deeper into what we're all talking about. Because I told this to my daughter one day, and I know this is going to resonate with her, and I'll yield with this. I said to her, I said, no man wants to marry him. No real man wants to marry another man. Let me let that marinate. No real man wants to marry another man. Whether she's a man, even if she could have breasts and all the feminine features, but if she's inwardly a man, that man and that woman are not going to have a fruitful marriage, because there's going to be this constant tug of war. And this is what I'm talking about. There has to be a distinction. We have to know, I don't want a woman that can do everything that I could do. Then what am I there for? Oh, Lord, y'all got me preaching now. What am I there for? If you could do everything that I do, if you could pay your own bills and you got your own car and you this and you that, you don't need me.
Hey, Johnny.
You don't need me. Go ahead. I'll yield.
Norman, go ahead and reset the room. I know that you want to do that, and then you can speak to it. You can reset it, Norman.
All right. So first of all, welcome to the High Culture Podcast Room. We're discussing the feminization of fathers. Thank you for, you know, joining us today. If you see all the speakers on the panel today, make sure you follow them. You know what I'm saying? These are all good guys, quality guys. I myself am the host of New Numa Godcast. This is a podcast based out of Baltimore, Maryland, urban Christian podcast. And basically, I wanted to add to that subject and say this. I don't feel like, okay, let's just say my wife can do every single thing I can do, quote unquote. That does not mean I'm not necessary. I mean, you know, that would be like going to a job and you got all these electricians. Since you're talking about that a lot, Johnny, there's a lot of A-rate electricians. I used to be one. I was in a local 24 union, and I used to be an A-rate electrician, a top-rated electricians. There are more than one A-rate electricians. So all of us have basically the same skills and everything. We all bring that to the table, but you need multiple of them to get jobs done and to get them done efficiently and quickly, because especially the bigger the project, the bigger the, you know, whatever it is, a construction project that's going on, you need more electricians around to get it done in an efficient manner. So me being able to say that someone else has the exact same skills I have doesn't negate what I bring to the table. It just means that there's more of us to get it done quicker together. Now, in this case of a marriage, when you're talking about your wife, having, you know, being able to do everything that you can do. The thing is, she can't do everything you can do because she can't give herself sperm, for one. She can, you know, you have to be the one, you know what I'm saying, to do that for her. You know what I'm saying? So, that's one thing. I can, you know, I'm not going to get into a list of things that you can do that she can't do. You're saying if she could do everything that you can do, then what's the point of you being there? The point of you being there is that she can't be what she needs to be to her son. If you need a son to be a man, only a man can do that. A woman can't do that. So that would never be the case. Only a woman can do what she needs to do in a daughter's life to make sure she is the proper type of woman. A man could never do that. So really, that's where there's a crack in what you said, because a man and a woman have certain things that they bring to the table that the other one does not have. No matter how much they could do, per se, that might be equal or equivalent or something, there's still something that they cannot do that you bring to the table. But regardless of that, even if there wasn't a thing that you bring to the table that she can't bring to the table, and or rather, you know, both of you were able to do everything the exact same way, which would never happen, and nowhere in life, nowhere in society. But for the sake of what you're saying, even if you could do, if she could do every single thing the way you do it, that still would not negate you being necessary. As you know, in the scriptures, it says one can chase 1,000, two put 10,000 to flight. So that means you get more accomplished with two people than you do with one. So that knows that right there shows that there is no pointlessness or uselessness of you just because your wife could do exactly what you could do. So that's where I'll leave that for now.
Oh, go ahead, Johnny. Go ahead and respond to it.
I'm confused. I mean, okay. All I'm trying to say is this, is that I agree with what you, I think I agree with what you're saying, Norman. I think we're saying the same thing. Maybe we're saying it two different ways. I totally realize that there are things that she can do that I am not capable of doing. And there are things that I can do that she's clearly not capable of doing. But what I don't want, and I think I made that clear, I don't want to marry another me. I don't want to marry somebody that doesn't need me. I don't want to marry a woman's like, well, you're not taking care of me, or I don't need you, or I'm the breadwinner. I mean, maybe she can make more money than me. I'm not saying that. But she's not there to protect me. I'm there to protect her. I don't think there's no argument in the room about, you know, she's not there to protect. Now, could there be a scenario where maybe I'm down and she's got my back? Absolutely. But bringing it back to something I heard somebody say about these movies, this has been part of the agenda also. Have you noticed the women have been the superheroes saving the sorry men who couldn't save the day? You got Captain America, you got all these different folks, and the women come out of nowhere and just saving the day.
You know, yeah, I noticed that.
Hey, yeah. No women superheroes. Hold on, Johnny. Hold up.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead and say something real quick. I wanted to give Tommy an opportunity to speak too, and I'm going to say something to that. But go ahead, Jonathan.
I mean, for one, I'm going to say...
Oh, you're real low right now.
And we haven't heard from Tommy yet either. I want
to... I'm just soaking up knowledge, man. I'm just listening to y'all. It's real interesting.
You can hear me now?
You still real low.
You got that Boost Mobile, Jonathan, man. You gotta get no, I'm just playing. We left the room. We're coming back.
Y'all got me now?
Yeah, yeah. You good, man.
Alright. Well, I'm gonna say first and foremost, I think biblically wise, to answer your original question, Terrence, biblically the man is said to be the lead. He's said to be the head. He's said to be the lead. And what that looks like in different situations, it looks like a lot of different ways. Like that. Eve, I got to believe Eve was there helping him in the garden. She wasn't just laying up and saying, go ahead and I'm going to tend to all the garden, Eve, and you just go lay up and chill. Pretty sure she was out there helping as well. And so that's what I'm saying. The traditional gender role type things, for the most part, I don't agree with. I'm going to clean the kitchen. I'm going to cook for my kids some days. Sometimes I'm going to feed my kids. Me and my wife are going to wear different hats in our household. But as far as biblically, when somebody comes here, I'm the front of the household. I'm the face that they're going to see. When somebody's discussing something around here, they're going to have to discuss it with me first. And that's what I mean. So, yes, of course that man should be the lead. But when we're talking about who can do what and all that type of stuff, me personally, as long as we benefiting each other, I really don't care. I don't desire, I don't need my wife to feel like a damsel in distress. And I think, Brother Johnny, what you were speaking toward was attitude. And I don't want no woman telling me she don't need me either. And that ain't got nothing to do with roles or anything. That's just a attitude that I just don't want around me.
I agree. I agree, Jonathan and Johnny. I agree with that. I think that if I'm hearing you correctly, Johnny, it sounds like you're speaking more to disrespect, disrespect of who you are as a man. And we know as men, our number one thing is respect. And if we feel like there's a lack of respect.
Thanks for listening to the New Numa Godcast once again. This is your host, Norm. Follow me at Norm the Professor on IG. I'm in agreement for power and breakthrough in your life. Keep tuning in every week for that real talk, new life.